Accession number 33206, Reel 1.
Mr. Greet, Reel 1. When and where were you born, Mr. Greet?
I was born in Lancing in Sussex on the 30th of December 1919.
And what did your parents do for a living?
My father was a landscape gardener, but he went blind. So he stopped working, but that was his trade at the beginning. My mother didn't work, of course. They didn't at that time, yeah.
And what was the area of Lancing like growing up?
Area of Lancing? I was born and lived in a little road originally called Farmer's Lane, but my uncle was chairman of the council, and it was changed to King's Road. But Lancing itself was a tiny town, really. It had no cinema, no theatre, nothing like that, and was just a small, unimportant place. Its only importance, probably, was it was close to Brighton. It was 7 miles away from Brighton. But, of course, at that time, there was nobody had cars, and there was a little old train that went to Brighton, and I don't think any buses went, so people didn't go on the whole, except on occasions. Yeah.
And did you have brothers and sisters? Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have had one brother. He was older than me, 3 years. He died something like 4 years ago, I think. He was an engineer, but he joined the army for the war. He spent 5 years in the desert fighting. So my poor mother had two sons, both away fighting the war. There he was my only relation.
And where did you go to school?
I went first of all to the local school, though I suppose today it would be called a comprehensive, and I subsequently went to Brighton to Clark's College, which was a private school.
Did you have any favourite subjects or teachers at school?
Well, I liked maths and I liked English, but I also liked history. You know, I liked most of the subjects. I didn't have any sort of big thing for any subject. I just liked them generally. I enjoyed school, in fact, yeah. Mm.
Did you have any hobbies growing up or play any sports?
Hobbies, they varied. I mean, you must remember at this time, when I was growing up, or when I was a child, there was no television. There was radio, but as far as I can recall, we didn't have one. But I made a radio, and that was what boys did at that time. That was their hobby, making radios. And they were called crystal sets, and they just went to a frequency that the crystal was cut for. So you had to keep changing crystals. And my aerial, I remember, was my iron bedstead. But it wasn't really the quality of the radio. It was the fact that you could make them. And that was one of my hobbies. But my main hobby was football. I played a lot of sports, and football was my big thing, and ruled my life a bit at the time. Yeah. No other hobbies. Carpentry I did a little bit, because I did carpentry at school, and I quite enjoyed it. And my father was very good at those sort of things, so I rather followed him, you know, as one does as a child.
And what about the boys' organisations at the time? Did you join the Scouts or the Cadets or anything like that?
I was in the Cubs, But I never went further than the Cubs, so I stopped there. I didn't go to Scouts. No.
What activities did you undertake with...
I beg your pardon?
What activities did you undertake with the Scouts? The Cubs, sorry.
In the Cubs, well, we did all the normal things, camping and getting badges and... you know, the normal things that the Cubs do, I can't recall in detail, but we had to get badges, so we had to do things like lighting fires and putting up tents and that sort of thing.
What age were you when you left school? When did you leave school?
When did I leave school? At the age of 16, when I joined the Navy.
So you went straight from school into,
yeah,
into the Navy. And... what made you want to join the Navy?
Being born in Lancing and living after that in Shoreham-by-Sea, we lived near the beach. I mean, there were seaside places. I always had a yen for the Navy, and I couldn't quite describe why. I think it had to do with the sea, and... I spent a lot of my life by the sea, swimming, what have you, so, and watching ships passing by, I think, which gave me the urge. But I always wanted, and I couldn't tell you why I wanted. But my father, who was a lovely man, but didn't do a lot for his children, because that was the wife's job at that time, but I've convinced him that he should take us to Navy Days in Portsmouth, which he did, and that really put the lid on it. And I saw the ships and the sailors and everything else, so I was determined to join, which I did.
And how did you go about joining the Navy at that time?
Right. While I was at Clark's College, I got a bit bored. Now, I had lovely parents, but both were busy with other matters, and although, of course, they looked after us extremely well, they didn't take a lot of interest in what I was doing or what I was going to do in particular, and I got a bit bored with life. When I went to Clark's College, there was no football and there was no sports in general. It was, you know, just a grind, and I got terribly bored. And my desire to join the Navy had never left me. So I went to the local recruiting office and said, how can I join? And they said, oh, well, you're just the type we want. You can join if you want. But I was underage. I was just under 16 at that time. And I had to get my parents' consent to join. And my mother wouldn't give it. My father did what my mother wanted. So I was refused, and I didn't quite know what to do from then on. So I went back to the college, and in due course it overcame me again, and I went back to the recruiting office and did what I should do to join, and went back home, and I thought, well, what can I do now? So I got my father, who never ever, as far as I know, made a decision about his boys. He might have done, but I don't know. And I convinced him finally that I had to join. And he, for the first time in my knowledge, took charge and said, all right. And he told my mother that I was to join, and that was that. So at the age of 16... I knew nothing about Dartmouth. I didn't know anything about being an officer or what have you. So I joined as a sailor, as a boy. And that's how I came to join. And I had no difficulty whatsoever in any of the tests. So I became a boy sailor.
What was the process of recruitment when you went to the centre? What sort of things would they be asking you? What would tests were they giving?
The recruiter. I don't remember, but I'm sure he asked me all the normal questions about my background, what I wanted to do, why I wanted to join the Navy, what my educational level was, etc., etc. I think all the normal things that they would want to know from a boy. what his desire was. Was he going to be a good candidate or what have you? You know, why he wanted to join in particular. But at that time, that was in when I was 16, it was about 1936, a lot of boys did want to join the Navy, and there was no shortage of recruits. So they had to be a little bit careful to get the right ones. And I suppose he asked that sort of question and accepted me willingly. Didn't give me the King's Shilling, but I think I probably went out with Nelson. Yeah.
Did they give you a medical at that point?
Oh, yeah. Oh, very much, yeah. But I mean, I was fit as a fiddle. I played a lot of games. I had no problems.
What would they be checking in the medical? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't remember at all. I think general fitness, whether there was any reason why, you know, you couldn't join, whether there was anything that might come along in your medical afterwards. But, I mean, I'm sure I was an ideal candidate because medically, educationally and desire-wise, you know, I wanted to go and I went.
Okay, so you went to Dartmouth first, was it?
No, I didn't go to Dartmouth. I went to a boys' training ship at St. Vincent in Gosport.
And do you remember your journey down there?
I went by train from Shoreham to Portsmouth. And at Portsmouth, where I was one of, going to be my term that year, I think we were about 30. And we were met by a petty officer who conducted us across the, at Portsmouth, across the harbour by ferry. And we walked to St. Vincent. There was no question of transport. I mean, we'd already signed up, so we weren't important. So we walked to St. Vincent. And at St. Vincent, I spent the next 18 months of my life training.
And what was the base at St. Vincent like? What was HMS St. Vincent like?
You're reading my book. But, I mean, you've got to remember that I was 100% keen. And I loved the life there. But it was very, very hard. The discipline was very strict. I mean, there wouldn't be anything like it today, I imagine. Run everywhere, call everybody sir, you know, really rather downtrodden. But I had a good life. I enjoyed it. I had good friends in my term. And we had a very good class. And we were three rather strong characters who ran the class. And we won a lot of things, or a lot of competitions, you know, for boys to keep them on their toes, etc., etc. Punishment was climbing the 120-foot mast and sitting on the top with the golden bowl until somebody remembered to call you down, winter and summer. I did quite a lot of that, but I went up with a very special friend of mine usually because we normally transgressed together. And we had quite a good time chatting away up top until somebody remembered to bring us down.
What sort of things did you do to get into what sorts of things did you do to get into trouble?
Disobedience of orders, slackness in obeying. There wasn't a lot of that because, you know, you didn't dare do it, but it did occasionally happen. Dirty or not pristine, clean uniforms. Remember, we wore white duck uniforms, and they had to be absolutely spotlessly clean. We scrubbed them with a scrubbing brush. Slackness in arriving on the parade ground, for falling in, going to the dormitory with boots on, which was a very polished deck, and we were not allowed to go anywhere with boots on. That sort of thing, you know, there were so many ways of transgressing that I'm afraid we transgressed quite a lot.
When you arrived at HMS Vincent, St. Vincent, what uniform and equipment did they issue you with?
It was summer, June the 16th, I joined, 1936. and it was summer, and I remember it was hot. And the uniform in the summer was white duck canvas suits, sailor suits, with gaiters and boots. So we got that. We got caps. We got cap ribbons with HMS St. Vincent on. We had to tie. We were given winter uniform, which was blue uniform, normal sailor's uniform. Never an overcoat, never a raincoat, never anything to keep warm. We got jerseys, and that was it. And they jolly well like it, and that was it. But I mean, we were tough. We were 16, you know, you are tough at 16, you don't care. And so that didn't worry me. We got bedding, blankets, because we slept in a dormitory and to do our own beds. We did our own everything. And that sort of thing. I can't remember what else we got. It's probably in my book. I'll have a quick look. If that's all right. My reason for joining. The parade ground, huge. The mast, 120 feet, which I sat on the top of, holding the ball with my feet, otherwise you'd fall off. During the spring, summer, autumn terms, we wore white duck canvas uniforms, gaiters and highly polished boots. We had to literally scrub the suits with a scrubbing brush and hard soap supplied. I thought I said what we got, but never mind. Well, anyway, I think it probably answers your question, doesn't it? Yeah, okay, shoot.
What were the recruits all from a similar background to you?
I think it was a very mixed lot who came. They were all from school, mostly from school, so they hadn't actually, I don't know anything really about their personal background, their family background, except my one very good friend who came from Brighton, whose father was in the Navy, and I knew him and his family quite well. But the rest of them, I mean, they all spoke different accents, and most of them I couldn't understand anyway. I'd never been outside of Sussex. They were a mixed lot, but tall, small, I mean, you name it, they were just brought together. A lot came from inland, so I never asked. I mean, I just didn't care at that time why they came, but it was interesting that they did all come. And they were mixed lot in the sense of what they could endure in the training cycle. I mean, there were the ones who physically couldn't do it and wanted out. There were those who couldn't stand the discipline and wanted out. There were the very shy ones who really wanted to stay, but couldn't quite understand why they wanted to stay. But in general, I mean, nobody left. We'd all signed up for 12 years. Huh? In general, people stuck it because they had to. But because of myself and my two good friends, who we were all fairly big and all sportsmen, we were able to lick the class into shape so that we could win things, etc. So we became a reasonable sort of group. And they all knuckled down finally, but they were all mixed, very mixed people. Never understood why. A lot of them, I imagine, came from places where there was no swimming pool, no beach, no nothing. I never quite understood why they joined, but they did. But in the winter, we swam. We had two swimming pools. We swam winter and summer outside, break the ice if necessary. We had non-swimmers, of course. And the method of teaching them to swim was very simple. They were pushed in and at the deep end, left to struggle until they were coming up for the seventh time and they were given a stick to hold and pulled in. But they very quickly learned to swim. I mean, it was a tough life, and that was the way that it was done. We ran everywhere. We ran to the swimming pool. The instructor, we had two instructors attached to our class. They would walk, of course, we would run, so they'd blow the whistle and we'd turn around and run back and then blow the whistle again and we'd run the other way, so they just walked casually. Anyway, there we go.
What was your accommodation like at St. Vincent?
Dormitory. We were something like, I should think, 15, 12, 12 perhaps to a dormitory. Dormitories were very clean, polished wood, polished floors. We all had one locker to keep. We didn't have much stuff anyway, but we had one locker to keep it in with a key. And it was very adequate, you know, compared, I think, very well with a boarding school, or because it was clean and we cleaned it. Mm.
How did you go about cleaning the room?
Well, the floor was polished, and everything we did on our hands and knees. That was the way it was done, and that's what we did. We cleaned the dormitory every day, and I mean, the whole of our day was organized. We didn't have very much time to ourselves, and what with instruction and parade drill. All sorts of sports, and cleaning the bedroom was one of them. Every day, hands and knees, on you go.
And did they inspect your room and your kit?
Oh, inspected all the time, every day. Yeah. Oh yes, I mean life was inspected all the time. But I mean, there were so many ways around it that after a while, I mean, the whole aim really was to see what we could get away with, because life was pretty tough. And we got away with a lot, you know, you learn. And we had two very good instructors. I was a communication boy, and communicators were a little above the normal sort of seaman type sailor. So because of that, we had two petty officers who were a little above the normal gunnery type. And we knew what we could do to get away with. And if we got caught, what we would get. So that was the way we did it.
And what were the rations like?
What were the?
Rations like.
Oh, we ate extremely well. I mean, there was no question about not eating well. And I mean, when you're 16, you want to eat you all the time. And we had a system of in the mess deck, we when you were duty class, you had to clean the place and you had to collect the food from the galley, serve it out, etc., etc. And my good friend and I, we had a good sort of liaison with the cooks in the galley. So we didn't want for food at all. We ate very well. One called them sir and gave them respect. And they.
And what sorts of things would they give you for each meal?
Well, we had what I would describe as English food, really. We had cooked breakfast, eggs, bacon, sausage, that sort of thing. We always had a cooked lunch. And, I mean, what one could describe as an English cooked lunch, beef or, you know, that sort of thing. And we had supper roughly the same, with big sweets, I remember, and big sweets for the. We had milk and biscuits and things during the morning and the afternoon at tea time, during instructions. And we fed very well. And I mean, that was to their advantage, because they wanted to keep everybody fit, strong, healthy. So they looked after us. We ate well.
And did you and the other recruits settle in well to Navy lifestyle?
Did I?
Settle in well to Navy lifestyle.
Oh, I mean, I loved the Navy. The Navy was my life. I loved it. I settled in everywhere. I have absolutely no regrets about my naval career at all. Because, you know, I played for the first 11, for example, and you get a certain amount not a lot, but a certain amount of leniency here and there, you know. I could say that I didn't want to go rowing in the harbour. I could go training, and that was accepted, and I would go training. So I had a lot of, because I was good at my job, because I was in what was called an advanced class educationally, and because I played for the first 11 football and first 11 hockey, I had a certain amount, not much, but a certain. Oh, and I became a leading boy, which is the same as in a school. What do you call them?
A head boy.
Well, I mean, you have power. I mean, I wore a stripe and I had power, and it did have power. The Navy's based on that. And because of all those things, I mean, I had a reasonable sort of life, and I loved it. I enjoyed it very much. So I had no difficulty at all in settling in the Navy. It was my life.
At this time, did you have much free time at St. Vincent's, and what would you do?
Very little. That's a good question. I can't actually remember. Well, I mean, as far as I was concerned, it was a lot of training and, you know, sports training, that sort of thing. And we had competitions for practically everything in the Navy, and we would spend some of the free time in training, rehearsing for the competition. Reluctancy on some of the boys, but you know, in general, we did pretty well. I can't remember what we did. I think we talked a lot. We played games like Ludo, you know, that sort of thing. We had games we played, but we didn't have a lot of spare time. Our time was organized all the time, yeah. Starting at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Were you allowed off the base at all?
In the first year, we were allowed one weekend a term at home. You know, we could go home for a weekend. In the last 18 months, when we were senior boys, we were allowed one run ashore. I think it was a fortnight, and it was something like 3 hours. Where we could go to the cinema and generally misbehave, and but there were patrols everywhere. You know, we were always under supervision, no matter where we were, what we were doing. But we could smoke in the cinema, which we couldn't in the. So I think once a fortnight we were allowed ashore for 2 or 3 hours, then we could go to the cinema. We could do what we liked, in fact. But that was only in the last 18 months.
So what training did they give you at St. Vincent? And
what training?
Yeah, and how did they go about?
Well, training was things like a parade drill in our specialisation, and mine was signals. So, we spent a lot of time training. When we left St. Vincent after 18 months, we were extremely well trained. I mean, we were a real asset to the Navy, but when we trained jolly hard. But the training was all sorts of things, like sports, like athletic training. Everybody had to do athletics. And parade drill, carrying a rifle, knowing what to do with it. A certain amount of armament training, That's all I can think of, really. I mean, you know, that filled up the time. Yeah.
Okay, I'll just stop you there.